ॐ अज्ञान्तिमिनन्दस्य ज्ञानाञ्जलाशलाकाय चक्षुर्विन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतकृतधार श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। ओके 13:24 ये एवं वेति पुरुषं प्रकृतिं च गुणैः सर्वथा वर्तमानोऽपि नासाभूय विजयते। One who understands this philosophy concerning material nature, the living entity, and interaction of the modes of nature is sure to attain liberation. He will not take birth here again, regardless of his present position. A clear understanding of material nature, the super soul, the individual soul, and their interrelation makes one eligible to become liberated and turn to the spiritual atmosphere without being forced to return to this material nature. This is the result of knowledge. The purpose of knowledge is to understand distinctly that the living entity has by chance fallen into this material existence. By personal endeavor in association with authorities, saintly persons, and a spiritual master, he has to understand his position and then revert to spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness by understanding Bhagavad Gita as it is explained by the personality of Godhead. Then it is certain that he will never come again into this material existence. He will be transformed into the spiritual world for a blissful eternal life of knowledge. anyone has heard the recording? I think Chintamani Mataji, you were not there, no? For the last class.
Yeah.
And did you get a chance to hear the recording?
Yeah.
Okay. I think Aritra, you are there or... No, you are not there, I think, because of Ram Navami celebration, I guess. So did you get a chance to hear the recording? Hare Krishna, Aritra Prabhu, are you there?
Hare Prabhu, can someone continue?
What was the last question that I asked in the previous class? Chintamani Mataji and Ujjala Mataji, do you remember? We were discussing about certain things, and the one question was where I said,
why do we need a guru and a super soul? Why not either of them?
Yeah. So we definitely know that we need a guru, external form of guru we require. But then the question was that why do we also require a super soul? Not in the context of giving life to the soul, but in the context of what?
Knowledge.
So in terms of as a guru, why do we need the super soul? Because anyways we have the external form of guru. Because there is so much confusion, right? See, if there is only external guru and the super soul does not have any role, then it becomes very easier to accept knowledge, guidance, but being, the super soul is present in the heart, and then we know that the super soul also inspires the living entity. So then it becomes more complicated, because then some people think that they are in directly contact with the super soul. Why do they need a guru? Or they are inspired from within, that's what they say. So how to, answer this kind of question? Why do you require a super soul as a guru?
We need the guru and the super soul both, because as per the shastras, you need to have faith in the guru as well as the Lord to get spiritual knowledge. Mm-hmm.
Yes, very good answer. And can you elaborate more?
Another thing is also, I feel that since he is in the heart, and he is the cause of knowledge, forgetfulness and remembrance, then he is doing that to the Guru also. The Guru is not independent of the Super Soul. So the Guru also gets his thing from the Super Soul. So
the Guru has to what?
The Guru also gets his knowledge and all, because he is saying that he is in the heart and he is giving knowledge, forgetfulness and remembrance. And so Guru is not independent of the Super Soul. So even Guru is getting his this thing from the Super Soul.
Okay, but the Guru can also get this knowledge from Shastra and he can also get from his Guru.
Yeah, that is fair. But
so then why...
Super Soul is Lord is saying to him that in the heart I am there and I am the one who gives you knowledge. So without him, I think without his sanctioning, we don't get the knowledge.
No, actually, see, that is what the question is, that the Super Soul is, if he is there in the context of just giving life support, but then what is the need of the Super Soul to give knowledge? Because the knowledge is available through Guru Sadhu Shastra. So then why do we require a Super Soul? You know, this same knowledge actually he has given in the Shastra. And he can, that you know, Shastra is revealed by the Guru. And the sadhus, they make it more simple to understand the teachings of Guru. So then, what is the need of Super Soul now?
We need to have faith in both of them to get that knowledge. No?
Yeah. So that's a right, you know, you are on the right track. But now you have to explain why do you require faith in both of them simultaneously? Or why there is a necessity of the Super Soul also?
I feel that even the initial knowledge is coming from the Super Soul, even when we don't have a Guru. Like when we are small, human child will walk, a bird will fly, animal will run.
Yeah,
so these knowledge is coming from the Super Soul.
See, this knowledge that you are talking about walking and all that, that's a life for support. So, especially we are actually talking about in spiritual context, why the Super Soul has to act like a Guru. Okay, now in terms of walking and all that thing, you know, it's all, these are all things obviously, you know, it can get connected to spiritual life also. But the most essential part of the Super Soul is, like as you mentioned in the beginning, that to make that initial contact with spiritual life, to make the contact with Guru, because you cannot get Guru unless Krishna will send you Guru, right? And for that, you require the Super Soul's inspiration or direction. Now, another important aspect is, there is one more important aspect I wanted to ask, you know, if devotees have more comments about it. So like, you know, obviously initially we don't have any Guru. No one is going to take birth, you know, with a Guru, right? Everyone is without a Guru initially. But the point of contact, you know, to come in contact with the devotees and all that. Now Krishna obviously is going to send them. So that inspiration from within will come. Okay, so that initial point of contact is also responsible to get in touch with the devotees, or get the mercy of the devotees. Another aspect of Super Soul, you know, why Super Soul is extremely important.
He'll be like, after we get instructions from Guru, how to follow them, and he might guide us, and he'll be watching Kapadrashta.
Yeah, so see, that is true. He guides us. Like, you know, Prabhupada says many times that the Super Soul, like Krishna, will inspire you from within. He says many times. So that is definitely there. You know, it's very helpful. So that's a good point.
Mm.
But there is another very important point, you know, most important point actually about the super soul. So it is connected with this principle that we have to develop faith in both of them simultaneously, right?
Mm-hmm.
Krishna and Guru simultaneously. Otherwise, one without the other is incomplete. Now, why it is like that? Why it is like that? Anyone else has joined till now?
Haritu.
Yeah, Angel Madhuri, are you there?
Angel Madhuri.
Yeah, so please, you know, can you, would you like to share your understanding?
I'm not aware.
Okay. Is Raju Prabhu there? Has he come back from the tournament?
No.
Not yet?
Matlab, he is gone now. During the day he had come home. He was working. But again now he has to play. Yeah.
Okay. So when is he going to come back now?
I think 11 to 13 meeting.
Oh. Okay. Okay. So... any guess about, you know, the most important role of super soul?
He's a witnessing authority.
Sorry?
He's a witnessing and sanctioning authority.
He's a?
Witness and sanctioning authority.
He's a witness and?
Sanctioning.
Sanctioning authority, okay. Where is your Prabhuji, Shri Kumar Prabhu? Is he there?
He had to go out somewhere. He said he'll come and join.
Achcha. Okay. Any other point?
I mentioned here, Prabhu, in one verse that the Lord is giving instruction from within and from without.
Yeah, so that is what we are discussing. That why from within? Why not just from without? Because there is so much confusion in within and without both. Okay. Now I think you should think in the direction of the hint that I've given. Why it's necessary to have faith in the Guru as well as the Lord simultaneously. So I think you should now answer in that context. But what happens if you have only faith in Guru and if your faith in the Lord does not develop? And what happens if your faith only develops in the Lord, does not develop in the Guru?
If our faith in either of them does not develop, then we will not follow the instructions.
Okay, so what is the meaning of this?
Whatever Guru, if I don't have any faith in my Guru, obviously I don't have faith in his word.
Yeah, so... basically, faith is incomplete without one of them. That obviously we can understand. But how do you explain that? Okay, I think no one is able to, you know, guess about. Yes.
Yeah, I was hearing the question. So, this question about this. If one has, so our ultimate objective is to go back home to God. Okay, our ultimate objective is to develop pure love for God. Okay, now in order to do that, in our current state, we do not have any direct interaction, or we cannot directly understand or pay heed to the instructions of the Lord without Guru. We are not like Arjuna, where we are already purified, we are already liberated soul, we are eternally getting association of Krishna directly. So that's not the path for us. Because Krishna himself is telling us that Tatvidhi Panipatena Parikrishnena Sevaya Upadyakshanti Te Jnanam Jnaninas Tatva Darshana. Why will he say that if we don't accept Guru? Like, why is he instructing us like that? There is obviously, it's an instituted thing that we should take shelter of Guru to get to him. Right?
So we are not discussing about what is the need of the Chaitya, the external Guru. We are discussing what is the need of the Chaitya Guru. So everyone knows that we require external Guru because we cannot understand the Super Soul instruction. But then the question is, why do we require the Super Soul? So some answers, like devotees have shared, certain points, certain important points devotees have shared. But the most important point, okay, I think no one is able to guess. So, see, I don't know why you are thinking so much about this. It's a very simple concept. Just tell me one thing. To actually find out, or to see, whenever the Guru is giving instruction, how do you know, how do you understand whether he is bona fide or not? Let's say, for example, even if you have a bona fide Guru, and then he starts giving instructions. Initially, he might give proper instructions. And maybe he is giving some instructions probably which are not practical. And maybe it's not necessary to follow them. So then, it is the Super Soul who is helping from within. And he is also making us understand who is the bona fide Guru, when to follow the Guru, when not to follow the Guru. Because we can also reject the Guru. Right? As soon as the Guru starts deviating, then you can reject the Guru. And that intelligent discrimination the Lord is giving. So, see, certain things are, in spiritual life, certain things are very common sense things, which is coming basically from Shastra, and which is also, common sense. If the Guru will, tell you to ask you to commit suicide, or, give up your life for certain things, then obviously you can start thinking about that. See, it is not necessary that every Guru is a Nitya Siddha. And as we know that nowhere in the Shastra it is mentioned that a Guru has to be a Nitya Siddha or a pure devotee, or the Prem Bhakta, perfected being. Because Shastra is actually also talking about the deviation of a Guru, the fall down of a Guru, and then how to reject the Guru. These are the standards to follow. So that means that as long as the Guru is actually following the parampara, he is following the previous acharyas, he is on a liberated platform. But as soon as he does not do that, then obviously there is no point of following the external form of Guru. I will give one example. Raghunath Maharaj was instructed by Srila Prabhupada never to leave Kirtanand Maharaj, never to leave him. And he asked him to serve Kirtanand Maharaj, to assist him. So he, they were serving in New Vrindavan. Many, many years, Maharaj was serving Kirtanand Maharaj. And obviously so many problems were happening that time. But nobody was aware of it. I think after many years, the facts about Kirtanand Maharaj started to come out, And then he also admitted, he also apologized and admitted about his situation. But you see, in the entire duration, and at one point of time, Maharaj even left ISKCON, because Kirtanand Maharaj left ISKCON. He was no longer a part of ISKCON. So Maharaj was with Kirtanand Maharaj because he was serving. Prabhupada instructed him to serve Kirtanand Maharaj. But now this instruction, never to leave Kirtananda, it is assumed, that as long as Kirtanan Maharaj is following Prabhupada, as long as he is not deviating from Prabhupada's teachings, instructions. As long as that is happening, Maharaj is supposed to continue with him, serving him. But as soon as that does not happen, then the Shastra also says that when one should reject someone, right? So, you know, devotees like Giriraj Maharaj and Bhakti Charu Maharaj, you know, they actually got Radhanath Maharaj back to ISKCON. Okay. And Kirtanan Maharaj was trying to implement certain ideas and, you know, certain devotional practices which were different from what Prabhupada thought. So Maharaj did not accept those things that time. Although he never left him, but he was also not, like you know, for example, he used to chant, you know, what Prabhupada said. You know, the basic instructions of Prabhupada Maharaj always used to follow that. And whatever was something which was different from Prabhupada, Maharaj did not follow that, although he never left him. But then obviously, you know, over a period of time, as we grow in our understanding about Shastra and, you know, the process, then we come to know that, okay, you know, these are the situations where one can disregard the, you know, instructions of the spiritual master, because there is some, you know, some kind of problem with that. So one can temporarily disconnect that, you know, disregard that instruction and then follow a superior instruction. So obviously, for, you know, if Maharaj would have been with, you know, he was with Kirtanan Maharaj and he would have been out of ISKCON, maybe that would obviously not be pleasing to Prabhupada. So coming back to ISKCON was actually the most pleasing thing for Prabhupada. Right? So this is how one can actually understand by the, see, it's a common sense thing. Now, if someone will come and tell me, even if that be my guru or, you know, my guru Jan, Shiksha Guru or whoever, if they will come and tell me that stop 16 rounds, you don't have to chant and you do more preaching. So my heart will say that, you know, this is not right. And, you know, whatever Prabhupada has given instruction to me, I must follow that. So these things, you know, they are actually inspired, they inspire us by the Super Soul. Plus, whenever the guru is not present, as Prabhupada said many times in his letters and other teachings, that if you practice sincerely, you know, Krishna consciousness, whatever Prabhupada has given, then Krishna will inspire you from within. So whenever the guru is not available, that time the Super Soul plays a very important role. So do you understand this point? You know, the guru is not God. So he is not able to guide you always from the external point of view. So then who is going to guide you? So it is the Guru Tattva who is guiding you, right? So Guru is also the expansion of that Guru Tattva itself. Whoever is actually an instrument to help us advance in spiritual life, they are all representative of the Guru Tattva. So Guru Tattva is original, you know, and that is why, you know, he is Balram. So Nityanand Prabhu. And so these, you know, Nityanand Prabhu and Balram, they are actually sending instruments as a representative of that original Guru Tattva. So one has to always remember that that's the reason Shastra very clearly says faith in the Lord simultaneously and the Guru. As we know that if you have blind faith in the Guru, then you are just a idol worshipper. Right? And so it's a fanaticism, because you are just a blind follower of a particular person. And that person obviously has to connect you with Krishna, means he has to develop your faith in Krishna more. I mean, that is his desire. That's his main desire. So if you do not develop your faith in the Lord, then there is something lacking. And the other way around, if you try to say that, okay, you have a lot of faith in Krishna, but no faith in Guru, that means you are not following Krishna's instruction, which he has repeatedly mentioned in the Shastra, the Bhagavad Gita and the Upanishads and many other places. So that means you are making a show. You know, there is no devotion. It's a false claim. Right? So by both of these processes, one will actually attain the Lord. And obviously, by serving devotees of Krishna, it is more easier to please the Lord. That is for sure. There is no doubt about it. So even if one is very advanced, one will try to approach Krishna directly. But that Krishna does not recommend so much. Krishna will recommend that we actually approach his devotees. So both things have to be followed. Okay, is that clear? Any comments or question about this? Does this make sense?
Yes, Rose.
Yeah. So it is a super soul's role. Many times, you know, the super soul inspires us. As long as obviously, see, one, you cannot disconnect the super soul and the external form also, because as long as we are following the instruction of the external form of the Guru, the super soul will keep inspiring us from within. The moment we disconnect with the instructions of the Guru, that from that moment we will be misled. So the super soul will not be able to help us. So the super soul will start helping you when you actually follow the instruction of the Guru. Okay? And both of them, they work simultaneously. So then obviously, see, you know, we are praying, you know, what is the meaning of praying? Whenever we are going somewhere, we are praying to the Lord, praying to Lord Narasimhadev. So we are approaching the Lord actually in that case, you know. And so that through that, the Lord is also associating with us. So that means the super soul is arranging things for us. Then the Guru is not present. Right? So this Guru Tattva is actually a universal principle. He is present externally, which we can see with the material eyes, but we cannot see the super soul with our material eyes. So once we come to the state of Bhava, then we can see the super soul also. And we can also talk to the super soul face to face. Now, one more thing is there, that the Guru is only required as long as we are conditioned. The moment we achieve perfection, there is no question of Guru. There is no Guru in the spiritual world. Okay, so no Guru in the spiritual world means no one is going to train us how to become a devotee, because we have already reached that platform. We have attained prema, which means that we have all become pure devotees of the Lord. So there is no question of teaching us how to practice Anya Bilasita Sunam Jnana Karma Dinavritam. As long as we are conditioned, we have to learn this Anya Bilasita Sunyam. Right? In the spiritual world, the Guru is in the sense that, you know, we assist someone. We assist our leaders in the spiritual world. But again, they don't teach us how to become a devotee, because we are already a devotee there. Right? So like, you know, Prabhupada said many times that the Brajvasis are very elevated. They don't require Guru because the Lord himself is their Guru, you know, and they are very advanced. Those, you know, Prabhupada also did not require a Guru. You know, these devotees, they come down for setting an example so that others can follow that. Right? If the parampara is not established, if the parampara devotees, Guru, the acharyas, they are obviously their nitya siddha. But if they don't accept an acharya or parampara or Guru, then what example they will set? Because we will always, see, we always want to take examples of people who are actually independent. Now, immediately we say that, well, Mirabai did not have a Guru. Why do you require a Guru? That's our tendency, because we are conditioned. We always want to be independent. So then our first argument is always to find out the exceptional things for us. Right? But that's the reason the acharyas have come down and they accept, they have to surrender, and they show that they are surrendered to a Guru. Otherwise they don't require, because Krishna speaks to them personally. Prabhupada said, you know, that all these books are dictated by Krishna personally. And then he also mentioned that when devotees were asking Prabhupada that what do you mean by that Krishna, you know, when you reach Uttamadhikari platform, or when you reach very advanced platform, does it mean that Krishna is talking to you from within? Prabhupada said, no, he personally talks to you face to face. So that means that, you know, Krishna will, you can see Krishna, you can talk to him directly. The super soul, super soul concept is just for the material world. Does not exist in the spiritual world, or does not exist for devotees who are nitya siddhas. This concept is not there for them, because they actually can talk with their worshipable object of affection, right? The Lord, Supreme Lord, because they have attained the Lord. So what is the need of super soul? So super soul is not required. I mean, you know, you will actually, I mean, you know, when you advance, then the guru tattva itself will disappear. You will see Krishna face to face, you will talk to him face to face. That point of time, there is no question of any guru tattva, you know. So this guru tattva is actually manifested for the material realm. And, you know, yeah, that, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, there will be pastimes of the Lord in the spiritual world, where devotees have some guru, like, you know, that is there for lila purpose. But from a technical siddhant point of view, you know, guru tattva does not exist for them. It is only meant for enhancing the lila in the spiritual world. But here in the material world, it is meant more for purifying us. So is this clear? Are you all there?
Yes, Roji.
Okay. Angel Madhavi?
Yes.
Okay. Aditra, are you there?
Yeah, Roji.
Okay. Okay, let's continue next work. Yeah. Okay, so Chintamani Mahapati, would you like to read? Okay, yeah, like whoever would like to.
25, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Dhyaninatmani pashyanti kechit atmanam atmana anne sankhena yogena karma yogena chapare. Translation. Some perceive the super soul within themselves through meditation, others through the cultivation of knowledge, and still others through working without fruitive desires. Purport. The Lord informs Arjuna that the conditioned souls can be divided into two classes as far as man's search for self-realization is concerned. Those who are atheists, agnostics, and skeptics are beyond the sense of spiritual understanding. But there are others who are faithful in their understanding of spiritual life, and they are called introspective devotees, philosophers, and workers who have renounced fruitive activities. Those who always try to establish the doctrine of monism are also counted among the atheists and agnostics. In other words, only the devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are best suited in spiritual understanding, because they understand that beyond this material nature are the spiritual world and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is expanded as the Paramatma, the super soul in everyone, the all-pervading Godhead. Of course, there are those who try to understand the Supreme Absolute Truth by cultivation of knowledge, and they can be counted in the class of the faithful. The Sankhya philosophers analyze this material world into 24 elements, and they place the individual soul as the 25th item. When they are able to understand the nature of the individual soul to be transcendental to the material elements, they are able to understand also that above the individual soul, there is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the 26th element. Thus, gradually, they also come to the standard of devotional service in Krishna consciousness. Those who work without fruitive results are also perfect in their attitude. They are given a chance to advance to the platform of devotional service in Krishna consciousness. Here it is stated that there are some people who are pure in consciousness who try to find out the super soul by meditation. And when they discover the super soul within themselves, they become transcendentally situated. Similarly, there are others who also try to understand the super soul by cultivation of knowledge. And there are others who cultivate the Hatha Yoga system and who try to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by childish activities.
Yeah. So different ways people will approach the Lord. Meditation through Hatha Yoga, Dhyan Yoga, and through Sankhya philosophy also. But the goal is to read the ultimate truth. Now, ultimate truth can be different for different people. Some can be Brahman, some can be Paramatma, some can be the, you know, the Bhagavan figure of the Lord. So, yeah, you know, and you know, the Sankhya philosophy generally they consider 24 elements because we have the five, the Karmendriya, five Gyanendriya, then the five gross senses, and the corresponding tanmatras for that. So 10 plus 10, 20. Then the mind intelligence ego, 23. And then, you know, some of them could consider the individual soul 25th, and then 25th is Supreme Lord. So like that, you know, different people, they try to understand the Supreme Lord in different ways. But the most easiest way and quickest way is actually to realize the Supreme Lord through devotional service. Why it is like that? Why the Lord is actually very easily revealed through devotional service than other processes?
Other processes, you only directly said, no, they are very difficult. He said in 12th chapter itself, Kleshodika Tarastesha, other processes are very difficult to achieve.
Why?
Because these Ashtanga Yogas and other Yogas, different processes, and you attain Super Soul, and then again, you have to come back to the original form of the Lord. The devotional service is directly we are linking up, you are directly attached to the Supreme.
So what is the main difference actually? How does devotional service, it easily attracts, or you know, the Lord can be revealed very easily through devotional service. Why is it like that?
Because we are directly trying to love the Lord, trying to have a loving relationship with Him. But the other processes are about trying to see the Lord, trying to realize the Lord, but not really focusing on developing a loving relationship of service to the Lord. So the Lord is more attracted by someone who is trying to love Him, sacrifice everything for Him, for His pleasure, rather than just trying to, see Him or just trying to realize Him in the heart without any relationship.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so very simple to understand that if you serve someone, the person is really pleased. So simple. If you try to use your own intellectual and that do not depend on someone else, you try to remain on your own strength, your own intelligence, then what will happen? It will take a long process, obviously. Here what is happening is, every devotee is actually striving for the mercy of the Lord. He wants to attract the attention of the Lord. So it becomes very easier, quicker, right? I mean, it's a human tendency also. If you serve someone, the person is easily pacified and pleased. But if you try to analyze, argue, use intelligence, the person may not be so much eager to help you. So, see, what happens is, in these processes, other processes, the major focus is on karma and jnana, and obviously because of that, it is more on intellectualism, especially jnana, you acquire through knowledge and wisdom, and then through karma you acquire, the desire to attain, a particular result. So through the actions and through the mind and through the words, you are trying to attain something with very less devotion. So in all these processes, the devotion is always there. Because without devotion, nothing can exist. See, why? Because it's a simple thing. When a Mayavadi is also trying to merge in the Brahman, he has devotion in the Brahman. He has devotion to reach that stage of merging in Brahman. right? He has devotion for that. Or Karmi also, he has devotion for his work. So without devotion, and then, see, what is happening? In both the cases, is he the controller? No. So then, with that devotion, he is actually trying to get some kind of help from a superior power. So, if you want to perform work, the results are not up to you. You are not the controller of the results. You cannot get the result as per your desires. And similarly, when you try to use your intelligence, the results are not up to you. Whether you achieve the goal or not, it will completely depend on. See, it is dependent on the process. Because, see, the Jnani also, even if he is using intelligence, but he is following a process. So that means that he is actually surrendering to someone. He is surrendering to the process if he wants to achieve the goal. Right? So finally, you know, he has some devotion for that, and he is also dependent on the person, you know, or the process. So because there is less devotion in these other processes, it is not achieved so easily. You know, so it is like that. And ultimately, obviously, the most important concept is that finally the devotional service or the devotees and the Lord, they are all person. So the reciprocation is also there. But for them, you know, for the others, the absolute truth is something impersonal. So then, what kind of reciprocation are you expecting? The only reciprocation that you are going to attain is that you are going to lose your identity, or you become one with everyone, everything else also. So then, where is the reciprocation? Reciprocation is only in terms of achieving the result. That's it. Then you know what? So see, that is the reason the Mayavadis and the Shankarites, they are following, you know, they worship Lord Shiva. But the most important point is, what is the need of worshipping Lord Shiva? What are they going to achieve? Because that Shiva is going to merge, you are going to merge. Shiva is not going to be there. So how can Shiva be the supreme person? You know, you call someone supreme when the person also exists beyond time and space. When the person is eternal. Right? But Shiva, when he himself is going to merge, all the Panchopasana Devatas, when they are going to merge, what is the need of worshipping them? So obviously they will say that it is mentioned in the Shastra. Okay, but now again the question is that what you are doing when you are accepting the Shastra, you are actually accepting the fact that the Brahman has some attribute. Because ultimately Shastra is what? Shastra is actually the spoken words of Supreme Lord. So they say that it is the word of Brahman. So then what is the meaning of that? Word of Brahman means you are saying that he is speaking something. Or he has given something to us. So that is completely illogical. Brahman is impersonal, and then you are assigning attributes to Brahman. Right? So these processes, you know, they have some certain kind of deficiencies. They are not, they have no philosophy, logical philosophy. No, they just want to escape from the material realm, and they neither want any service because they don't want to follow anyone also. So it means basically, you know, they just want to get rid of the material world and they want to become God. That is a tendency. Okay? So any comment or question on this? I hope you are able to understand. So does this make sense?
Yes, Prabhuji, clear.
Yeah, okay. Are they doing this?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay. The next verse. Chintamani Mataji, would you like to read?
Anneta evam aranam saha. Shruta, shruta netya upasate, eti charitram eva. Nityam shruti parayanaha. Translation. Again, there are those who, although not conversant in spiritual knowledge, begin to worship the Supreme Person upon hearing. Because of their tendency to hear from authority, they also transcend the path of birth and death. Purport. This verse is particularly applicable to modern society because in modern society there is practically no education in spiritual matters. Some of the people may appear to be atheistic or agnostic or philosophical, but actually there is no knowledge of philosophy. As for the common man, he is a good soul, then there is a chance for advancement by hearing. This hearing process is very important. Lord Chaitanya, who preached Krishna consciousness in the modern world, gave great stress to hearing because if the common man simply hears from authoritative sources, he can progress. Especially according to Lord Chaitanya, if he hears the transcendental vibration, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, it is stated therefore that all men should take advantage of hearing from realized souls and gradually become able to understand everything. The worship of the Supreme Lord will then undoubtedly take place. Lord Chaitanya has said that in this age, no one needs to change his position, but one should give up the endeavor to understand the absolute truth by speculative reasoning. One should learn to become the servant of those who are in knowledge of the Supreme Lord. If one is fortunate enough to take shelter of a pure devotee, hear from him about self-realization, and follow in his footsteps, one should be gradually elevated to the position of a pure devotee. In this verse particularly, the process of hearing is strongly recommended, and this is very appropriate. Although the common man is often not as capable as so-called philosophers, faithful hearing from an authoritative person will help one transcend this material existence and go back to Godhead, back to God.
Yeah, so this is the potency of hearing from a bona fide source. Even an atheistic person or agnostic person can be delivered by hearing the transcendental vibration from pure devotee. And that will have a lot of potency and effect. So they also can transcend. So this is a vibration which is actually coming from the spiritual world. That is the reason. Even, you know, anyone who can hear this vibration, who will hear, can actually achieve perfection. Okay, any comment or question? Okay, next. Yeah, is Sri Kumar Prabhu also there now?
No, he's not yet from there.
Okay. Angel Madhuri?
Sandhi. 13.27. Yavat Sandhya, Sandhya Etikinchat, Saksam, Stavar, Jangamam, Kshetra, Kshetrasna, Samyogat, Tadvidi, Bharata, Bharata Sabha. O chief of the Bharatas, know that whatever you see in existence, both the moving and the non-moving, is only a combination of the field of activities and the knower of the field. Perfect. Both material nature and the living entities, which were existing before the creation of the cosmos, are explained in this verse. Whatever is created is but a combination of the living entity and the material nature. There are many manifestations like trees, mountains and hills which are not moving, and there are many existences which are moving, and all of them are the combinations of material nature and the superior nature, the living entity. Without the touch of the superior nature, the living entity, nothing can grow. The relationship between matter and nature is eternally going on, and this combination is affected by the Supreme Lord. Therefore, he is the controller of both the superior and the inferior natures.
The material nature is created by him, and the superior nature is placed in the material nature, and thus all these activities and manifestations take place.
Okay, any comments? Next verse. Yeah, Ujjwala Mataji, you are there?
Yes, Ruji. 28. Samam sarveshu bhuteshu tishtantam parameshwaram vinashyasyatva avinashyantam yapashyati sapashyati. One who sees the super soul accompanying the individual soul in all bodies, and who understands that neither the soul nor the super soul within the destructible body is ever destroyed, actually sees. But anyone who by good association can see three things combined together, the body, the proprietor of the body or individual soul, and the friend of the individual soul, is actually knowledge. Unless one has association of a real number of spiritual subjects, one cannot see these three things. Those who do not have such an association are ignorant. They simply see the body and they think that when the body is destroyed, everything is finished. But actually it is not so. After the destruction of the body, both the soul exists. And they go on eternally in many various moving and non-moving forms. The Sanskrit word Parameshwara is sometimes translated as the individual soul, because the soul is the master of the body. And after the destruction of the body, he transfers to another form. In that way, he is master. But there are others who interpret this Parameshwara to be the super soul. In either case, both the super soul and individual soul continue. They are not destroyed. One who can see in this way can actually see what is happening.
Okay, any question? Next. Yeah, Mithun Prabhu and Mataji.
Okay, Prabhuji.
Yeah.
Samavartitam Ishwaram Yajinasi Atmanatmanam Tato Yati Paramitim. One who sees the super soul equally present on earth in every living being does not degrade himself by his mind. Thus, he approaches the transcendental destination. Thus, the living entity, by accepting his material existence, has become situated differently than in his spiritual existence. But if one understands that the Supreme is situated in Paramatma manifestation everywhere, that is, if one can see the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in every living thing, he does not degrade himself by a destructive mentality, and he therefore gradually advances to the spiritual world. The mind is generally addicted to science and defined positive, but when the mind turns to the Supreme Soul, one becomes advanced in spiritual in a sense.
Yeah, Suni Avacha Pakija Pandita Samadarshina. So one who can see with equal vision, learned man, you know, the sage, the trees, the plants, animals, everyone as equal. So basically, you know, you start seeing the super soul everywhere, and you start acknowledging that, you know, everyone is actually part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. So that is very advanced devotion. Okay, any question or comment? This is a vision of Uttama Adhikari. Next. Yeah, Jignamati.
Okay. Verse number 13.30. Prakruti yevacha karmani kriya yamanani sarvasaha yaha pashyati tathatmana. Akarta Rama Sapashyati Translation. One who can see that all activities are performed by the body, which is created of material nature, and since that itself does nothing, actually sees. Purpose. This body is made by material nature under the direction of the super soul, and with whatever activities are going on in respect to one's body are not his doing. Whatever one is supposed to do, either for happiness or for distress, one is forced to do because of the bodily constitution. The self, however, is outside all those bodily activities. This body is known according to one's past desires. To fulfill desires, one is given the body, with which he acts accordingly. Practically speaking, the body is a machine designed by the Supreme Lord to fulfill desires. Because of desires, one is put into difficult circumstances to suffer or to endure. This transcendental vision of the living entity, when developed, makes one separate from body activities. One who has such a vision is an actual seer.
Yeah, so you know, this is also connected to the question about who is experiencing pain. And you know, we had discussed that the body, you know, who the body or the soul. So, what is the answer?
The soul.
The soul. Everyone agrees with that? Who is experiencing happiness, distress? The soul or the body?
Being conditioned and considering ourselves as body, the soul is getting feeling the pain and pleasure.
Okay. Yeah, so the soul obviously is experiencing, because the gross body, subtle body, these are material elements. How can they experience anything without the presence of the consciousness or the soul? So the soul is actually experiencing. But at the same time, the soul is in the consciousness position. The soul is pure, does not do anything which is impure. But it gets covered by the desires of the jiva. So that, because of that covering, the soul identifies with the body. And that's how the soul is experiencing pain and pleasure. Okay. So this is how you have to understand. Because technically speaking, this, you know, that's why the self does nothing. See, now the self does nothing. What is the meaning of this? You cannot say that the self, you know, the self obviously refers to the soul. Right? It cannot refer to anything else. It cannot refer to the super soul, because the super soul is just a, you know, it is assisting the soul in the body. So the self is actually doing everything. So what is the meaning that, you know, the sees that the self does nothing? So it is, you know, the meaning is that in the spiritual context, the self is not doing anything because the self is pure. But because of the desire of the jiva, the self is covered by material energy, or it is influenced by the inferior energy of the Lord, which is the material energy. So that's the reason the self starts identifying with the body. Otherwise, the self is not doing anything. But, you know, this is in context with the spiritual nature of the self. Okay? Because without the self, you cannot desire also. The self is actually the jiva, or, you know, the self is the infinitely small part of the Lord. So that means that, you know, the jiva has to make choices, you know, in order to experience certain things. The jiva should make choices. And that's why the jiva is connected to the soul, you know, because without the soul, there's no question of existence of jiva. So the self is actually doing everything, you know, because of the desire of the jiva. But it is doing in a covered way. Although the self is actually not affected, it's not influenced by the material nature, but because of the covering. Okay? Next. Okay. Yada bhuta pritak bhavam ekastam anupashyati tata eva cha vistaram. When a sensible man ceases to see different identities due to different material bodies, And you see how beings are expanded everywhere, he attains to the Brahman conception. When one can see that the various body of living entities arise due to the different desire of the individual soul and do not actually belong to the soul itself, one actually sees. The material conception of life, we find someone a demigod, someone a human being, a dog, cat, etc. This is material vision, not actual vision. This material differentiation is due to material conception of life. After the restriction of the material body, the spirit soul is one. The spirit soul, due to contact with the nature, gets different types of bodies. When one can see this, he attains spiritual vision. Thus, being freed from differentiations like man, animal, igloo, etc., one becomes purified in his consciousness and able to develop Krishna consciousness in his spiritual identity. How we then see these things will be explained in the next verse. Okay, any comment? Next verse. Aritra, are you still there? Okay. Yeah, Chintamani Mataji, you can continue.
Text 32. Anadikam nirgunatva paramatmanyam astaya shariroshtho ki konteya na karoti na lukyate. Both with the vision of eternity can see that the imperishable soul is transcendental, eternal, and beyond the modes of nature. Despite contact with the material body, O Arjuna, the soul neither does anything nor is invented. A living entity appears to be born because of the birth of a material body. But actually the living entity is eternal, he is not born. And in spite of his being situated in a material body, he is transcendental and eternal. Thus he cannot be destroyed. By nature he is full of bliss. He does not engage himself in any material activity. Therefore, the activities performed due to his contact with material bodies do not entangle him.
So the soul is always pure, although temporarily it is covered by ignorance, but in his constitutional and eternal position, he is actually pure. Does not get affected by the modes of material nature. Okay, next.
But that is for a liberated soul.
You see, whether it is liberated or conditioned soul, the soul's characteristics basically are pure. But only the problem is that for a conditioned soul, the soul gets covered with a particular ignorance, and because of that, the soul is actually identifying with the body.
Yes. But then he gets entangled in the process, no?
This is like one and different, like that. And so, obviously, the soul is entangled, definitely, because the jiva is the soul, and the jiva is entangled in the material world, depending on the desires of the jiva. And then we can say that, yeah, the soul is also entangled because of that, but the idea is that there is something which is pure here. Because what we are talking about is impurity and purity, and the impure part is basically the material world, the gross elements and the subtle elements, and these are connected with the soul, which is a pure element. So in that sense, pure is always pure. Water is always water, right? Even if it is contaminated by some form of dirt or dust or whatever it is, but water is always pure, right?
Yeah.
So we have to filter it out and then we have to drink the water. So similarly, you have to filter the gross and subtle body so that we can actually attain back to our original state. So in that sense, it is mentioned that the soul is actually not affected by anything because it is originally it is pure in nature. Okay.
So, you see, in the previous verse, there is one thing that the first thing in the purport is saying,
when one can see that the various bodies of living entities arise due to the different desires of the individual soul and do not actually belong to the soul itself, one actually sees. But it's the soul which desires, no?
Yeah. Yeah,
then
so... Yeah, it is. So it does not belong to the soul means, you know, in the material context again. That the soul is pure, but it again, you know, because it gets covered with Maya. So the different, see, here in the first line, it is mentioned the different desires of the individual soul. And the next line, it is mentioned they not actually belong to the soul.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I mean, both are true, you know, if you understand in which particular context this is mentioned. So in the context of spiritual nature, the soul is actually unaffected and nothing belongs to the soul. So because it is coming from the, you know, Supreme Lord, so it is always pure.
But desire is coming from the soul.
Yeah, it is basically... you know, because, see, this, the tendency of enjoyment is also coming from the Lord. Because He is the Supreme Enjoyer, so the soul also has the desire to enjoy.
Yes.
Now, obviously, this is, again, you know, connecting to when does the soul, how does the soul desire some certain things, opposed to the service of Lord, and why does it desire like that. So that's, again, you know, connected to how did we fall down. From where did we fall and how did we fall? That's something which is inconceivable.
So, Prabhuji, one thing is that the soul can never be desireless. It can have either positive desires or negative desires. But why is it being said that do not actually belong to the soul? Desires are always part of the soul.
So,
Mataji is talking about
again,
the body.
Yes, Mataji.
It's talking about the body, when one can see that the various bodies of living entities arise due to different desires, and that bodies doesn't belong to the soul. It is not talking about the desires do not belong to the soul. I mean, it's my understanding. Because the bodies come and go.
If we take it that way, then it will take it.
Because it's talking about physical bodies. Different identities, different bodies.
Identities of living entities arise due to the different desires of the individual.
So, even if it is bodily, this thing, but it is again in the context of material desires. Okay. So, because without material desires, one cannot have a body. One cannot have a material body. So then what is the question of seeing the bodies of living entities? So here it is, you know, in the context of the material realm, material nature, where you actually see different bodies due to different desires of the individual soul.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So it is again in the material realm. Now, you cannot say that, okay, because you cannot separate body and the desire. Now, the body you get, because the body of a perfected being is a spiritual body. And it has, they have spiritual desire again.
Yes.
Right? So it does, see, the body is always going to be there, but it's a spiritual body and it's a spiritual desire. So again, the point is that the soul has a desire and the soul has a body also. But when it is coming in the, you know, context of material nature, here it is mentioned that, you know, the various body living entities arise due to the different desires of the individual soul. So obviously this is, yeah, and then we are discussing about Bhagavad Gita, which is given in the material world, this knowledge, so that we can remove our ignorance, right? So when we are seeing that, so here the various body, it does not refer to the spiritual bodies. It refers to the material bodies, obviously. and that the body is depending on the desires of the soul. So, you know, obviously it has to do with the material context here. It cannot be with the spiritual context. Because in the spiritual world there is variety again, and there are various types of bodies, right? So obviously here what Krishna's knowledge is giving is for the material world, for a person, you know, who has to develop knowledge in order to realize that he is not the body, he is the soul. So that does not exist in the spiritual world. Right? So the desires are definitely there, but these desires, they are not belonging to the soul because they are material desires. So originally, being pure in nature, the soul does not have material desires. It cannot think anything which is impure. You know, that is what the meaning is here. So in a material context, the soul, you know, nothing belongs to the soul because nothing material is connected to the soul. Okay?
Yes,
I mean, does this make sense?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I mean, Ujjala Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay. Yeah, so now how does the soul develop the desire? They will develop the material desire. See, the moment the soul thinks about enjoying separately from the Lord, that is a material desire. How does it develop? That is inconceivable. I mean, one can just say that everyone is God, and as such, everyone has that independence of thinking. So that is the only answer. Like, you know, I don't know if there is existing any other answer. How that desire comes, no one knows. So I think this is because that this desire is coming, and it comes not, it just comes spontaneously with a particular jiva. It does not have any cause. Just like, you know, we are all human beings, persons, and we want to enjoy, so we desire certain things spontaneously, we like certain things spontaneously, and there is no reason for that. Okay?
Yes.
So because every jiva is also God to a certain extent, so they also have certain desires and choices that is not having any cause. It is just spontaneous. The only problem is the moment we desire something, we get entangled. And the Lord, when He desires something, He can unlimitedly enjoy that. That is the difference. So how, why we made that choice to come to the material world, these are all unanswered questions. Yeah, I mean, you know, it is, see, the entire thing gets connected to the cause, you know, why do we suffer in the material world? Let's say if a person does not suffer at all in the material world, then he will never think, why did I make that decision? Why did I make the choice to come to the material world? Okay?
Yeah.
So there is no, we don't have to contemplate about this question. We don't even think about it, actually. And I think, you know, that's what the reality is. Actually, there is no suffering in the material world. The suffering only comes when we, after repeated instructions, we neglect the instructions. You know, after repeated the receiving instructions from the Lord or from the devotees, we perform certain tasks and get entangled with that. So, it's basically, you know, it becomes a pattern, it becomes a habit, and that is what entangles us. Because what happens is, if you die at the mode of ignorance, you also take birth at the mode of ignorance level. You know, whatever you stay, you know, when you die, whatever state you attain at the time of death, the same state you continue in the next life also. That's what the Bhagavad Gita says. So if you are in the mode of ignorance, you continue from that state. And then the, obviously, we can't say where we are going to go ahead. Because in the mode of ignorance, you cannot make proper choices. So, I mean, you know, generally a person will, what will happen is, you know, if a person is in the mode of ignorance, they will take animal body, they will, you know, evolve with time, and they will attain a human form, and the human form will be in the mode of passion because they are completely washed off the mode of ignorance, and then they have come to the state of mode of passion in the human form. So now in the mode of passion, or, you know, it's a mixture of certain qualities, then you have a discriminating power, and you have a choice to surrender to God or not. Because in the human form of life, you can actually make that choice. So, you know, if we hear the instructions of the Lord right in the beginning, because we are all Brahmas, right? We are, as we know that we are the first living entity in the material world takes the position of Brahma. So being Brahma, Brahma has, you know, very good opportunity to communicate with the Lord and to follow the Lord. But if that Brahma does not do it, then Brahma will take another birth in the material world after 100 years of his life. And then he will fall down, you know, more. So if you consider the duration of Brahma of 100 years, there itself, you know, we have a choice to actually surrender to the Lord and go back to Godhead. And it is not probably so difficult also, because the Lord, you know, we can hear the Lord, we can see the Lord. And you know, that's the reason we can actually accept the Lord's instruction. But somehow, you know, we do not make the choice. Why we don't make that choice, that is inconceivable again. I mean, you know, that's called individuality. Individuality means everyone has a free choice.
Is it that every Brahma is a fallen down jiva?
Every jiva is Brahma. That is what you can say. Not every Brahma is a fallen jiva, because Brahma, certain Brahmas, they go back to Godhead in their lifetime. So only some of them fall down. So not every Brahma is a pure devotee of the Lord.
I mean, all those falling from the spiritual world are all Brahma.
What are you saying?
All the souls that are coming back to the material world from the spiritual world, first birth is Brahma.
See, whether they are coming from the spiritual world, that's a big question mark. That's a question of debate, because not everyone agrees with this concept. Whether we come from spiritual world or whether we are coming from that Brahman. So we don't discuss that, you know, because it's useless. But this is what Prabhupada mentioned, that the first position that we take in the material world is that of Brahma. So now we don't know where the Brahma, you know, where we are coming from, but at least in the material world, the first...
Like all the living entities, sorry? First position is Brahma. All the living entities, huh? First position are Brahma. The ratio seems to be like quite like, okay, so many living entities and one Brahma. I mean, all these living entities took the position of Brahma and came back. I mean, at least some of them.
How many universes are there, Mataji? How many universes? Unlimited universes are there.
In all those universes also, these multiples of living entities are also there, no?
Yeah.
They say that even the creation also, all 84 lakhs of species were created at a time.
Yes.
Like, all varieties at a time.
There is a sequence. In the Bhagavatam, the Visarga part, because Sarga is the creation by Mahavishnu, and that exists till the appearance of Garbhodakshay Vishnu, till the point where the navel from Garbhodakshay Vishnu is coming and Brahma is born. So that is the Sarga part of the creation. The second part is the Visarga part. The Visarga part is actually conducted by Brahma. Now there is a sequence of who is coming first. Okay, so it's not that everyone is coming at the same time. So
I mean, to say that first initially we become Brahma, and then after 100 years of Brahma's life,
that is the reason. Okay. Now, to make things simpler and clear to understand, first of all, although Prabhupada says that the first position that we attain in the human form of life, in the material world, is Brahma. But actually, technically speaking, there is no first position. See, because the problem is that there is an eternal time space, and you cannot say which is your first, because before Brahma, what were you? See, it is basically...
But you cannot say that from where we have come from, to become Brahma.
See, whichever place we have come from, that's, material, but... The jiva has been, according to Shastra, the jiva has been, conditioned anadi, since no point of beginning, point of time, the jiva has been conditioned anadi. So, as such, it's difficult to say that, we can understand that, at least there is some point where the first position that the living entity has taken is that of Brahma. The first starting point when the living entity came into the material existence. But the Shastra says that this, existence is also anadi. So now, that's the reason, technically we don't say that it's the first starting point. Because it's anadi, there is no time. There is no time, trace of time in the material creation also, or, when the jivas have come to the material world. So it's difficult to say, but this is what Prabhupada says, and the first position that we are taking is that of Brahma, which means the other living entities who have been created by Brahma, they already were Brahma in the previous life. In the previous lifetimes, they already were Brahma at some point of time. At this point. So, if I am coming to the material world and, this is the first time I am in the material world, then I will take the position of Brahma, because there is no fit position for a living entity other than to take the position of Brahma, because the Brahma is the first living entity in the material creation, the Jeev Tattva basically. Okay. That is the highest position of Jeev Tattva can attain in the material world. So when the jiva is coming from a superior position, whether it may be the spiritual world or whether it may be Brahman, it is still superior to the material creation. So obviously the first position that the living entity has to take is obviously he has to take the position of Brahma. He cannot take any other less inferior position. Does this make sense? Okay, so the living entities were created by Brahma and were coming in different species of life. They were previously Brahmas in some universe. And so it's an eternal cycle. That is the reason you cannot say, it is difficult to say. So this is again inconceivable factor. It's an inconceivable concept. So,
yes, sure.
because some jivas are, see, they not okay, like okay, another concept is that when Mahavishnu is glancing, what is happening is, see, and there is a concept of unlimited universes with unlimited Brahmas. Now, which particular universe you are going, so it's not necessary that all the living entities are in one universe. So this makes things very easy to understand also, because when Mahavishnu is glancing, he is injecting the jivas. He's, you know, the, all the jivas, they are coming out from Mahavishnu through the agency of Lord Shiva and Durga. They are entering in the material world realm. And Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu is the one who is actually carrying all these jivas in his body. And he is Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, all the jivas, they are lying in the body of him. And do note that Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu is different for different universes. So a set of jivas are only there in body of one Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. A set of jivas, they are there in the body of another Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. Like that, there are unlimited Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, unlimited universes are there. And unlimited set of jivas are there. Okay? So, because there are unlimited universes, there are unlimited Brahmas. Right? And the jivas are not all of them, they do not all of them fall at one place. They are divided. The set of jivas are divided. Right? So it's a eternal concept again, you know, because we can always, you know, whoever is not a Brahma, you know, whichever jiva is not a Brahma, it means that they have, probably they have taken birth in one universe and then after that they are, you know, thrown into another universe. It's not necessary they are in the same universe. They are coming in the same universe. It can, you know, they can switch also, universes. So it is all, you know, all these factors are all inconceivable. Unlimited concept, you know, there is no time concept and it is all unlimited. So like, you know, we say that the 1/4 of the material creation is there, and then one, you know, very small percentage of jivas, they fall into the material world. Almost, you know, what we have heard is that almost 99% of the jivas, they go to the spiritual world, but only 1% of them, they fall to the material world. But that 1% is unlimited. Right? So then, you know, it's like infinite, that 1%. So then you can just imagine, like, you know, we say that 1/4 of the total creation is the material creation, and the 3/4 is the spiritual creation. But that again, that 1/4 is unlimited in the material context, the material realm. So then how do you, you know, how can you conceive of the spiritual world also? I mean, you know, this is something that, you know, I'm just trying to share my understanding, because obviously when Prabhupada is saying, you know, then we have to accept that. And this is also, you know, I've heard from this quote from Radha Govind Maharaj. You know, he also makes this point that the first living entity, he has to take the position of Brahma. There is no other qualified position for the living entity, because he's coming from a superior realm. He's not coming from an inferior realm. Right? So, that way. But, you know, if you all remember, you know, long time back I had shared this letter of Prabhupada, that the first position the living entity is taking is that of Brahma. I think Ujjwala Mataji must be aware of this. Because other devotees are probably, you know, they are all new devotees. But I have again started reading Prabhupada's letters right from 1965 onwards. And just to, again, you know, search all these important letters and, you know, share with the devotees. So, again, once I come across it, I'll definitely share. But do you recollect Ujjwala Mataji? I do remember, you know, this was a time when Pranav Prabhu was also there, you were there, and other devotees were there. And yeah, we have discussed this many times, and I shared the letter also by Prabhupada. Yeah, so any more comments, Madhavi, or any doubts about this?
I had a question. That is it.
Okay. One second. Ujjwala Mataji, do you have any more doubt or question, comments about this?
I think, Prabhuji, as you said, it is all inconceivable, and Prabhupada says, no, don't go deep into when and why. Go ahead forward. So
yeah, see, I mean, okay, it is inconceivable, but it's not that something which is difficult to accept, because this is, it's a logical thing, you know, even for the fact that obviously the living entity has to take a appropriate post in a material realm the first time, it makes sense. Plus, you know, the second thing is that eternal time concept is there. So the jivas, you know, unlimited jivas are there, talking about unlimited jivas, and then unlimited universes are there. And then, you know, even the secondary creation is there, but the jivas have already taken that karma. You know, they are continuing their karma. See, why the question is, why they have accepted these lower species of life or a human species of life? Why, from where they are getting that karma? It means that they are continuing from the previous karma. That is for sure.
Yeah, Nitya.
Yeah, so it's not necessary. See, it's not necessary that all the jivas, they are all at once, whoever is falling, they are falling at once and they are all becoming Brahmas. Or maybe there is a time concept which is delaying things, you know, because Mahavishnu's exhaling is the manifestation of the universes in the material world. And now if you consider Mahavishnu's exhale, that is just a few seconds for him.
Mm.
And in the material world, how many, you know, how much time has passed? So much. Again, it's an unlimited period of time. But Mahavishnu, you know, for him, it is just a, you know, few seconds, like 1 second or something like that. So we have to also, now, again, the point is, it's not necessary that everyone goes back to Godhead at the end of the total creation, right? Do you agree with this point? So now, that's the reason, you know, we say it's anadi karma. Because after the death of Brahma, which is 100 years, the living entities, they will go back to Godhead or they will merge in the body of Mahavishnu. Because the material creation is going to get destroyed. The entire, the Sarga part and Visarga part, both. Right? So Mahavishnu, because the Pradhan is eternal, the Pradhan form is always eternal. And then the glance is there, so then the Pradhana is transformed into Mahatattva by the influence of time. So again the material world is created. But then what is happening in the interim period? What is happening? Where are the jivas going? Because even the entire universe is destroyed, the entire creation is destroyed. But where are the jivas going? The jivas are merging in the body of Mahavishnu. So now, let's say, so that is the, that becomes the end point of the creation. And then there is also a starting point of the creation because the entire set of new creation is happening. Right? So then again, the jivas, some jivas are going to spiritual world, and the jivas who are in the body of Mahavishnu, they are all coming. They are all injected into the material world through his glance. So these jivas, they all have karma. Okay? And so some of the jivas will have new karma, you know, beginning, they will begin, and some of them will be Brahmas. And there is a possibility that there are those jivas, because of their acquired pious activities for 100 lifetimes, they attain the post of Brahma. So that is also possible. The first position one can attain is that of Brahma. Some jivas can attain the position of Brahma because of their 100 lifetimes of pious activities. So that is also there. So it's a very complicated thing, you know. But we can at least try to get certain things from, you know, the phenomena. It is obviously inconceivable, no doubt about it, but at least we can imagine certain things that, yeah, this is acceptable. It's not something that is impossible. Okay? Is that okay, Ujjwala Madhuri?
Yes, Ruji.
Okay, yeah, Chintamani Madhuri, you had something?
Yes, I was just
this thing that the jivas are in the body of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Now, when Brahma is born, now all the sages, the kumaras, everything is born out of Brahma. So is Brahma giving the material body or is Durga Devi giving the material body?
He is what?
The living entities in a particular universe are entering the body of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And now after that, Brahma is born. Now, Brahma is the secondary creator. He is supposed to be the father of the Kumaras, everybody, no? The sages and everybody. So that means he is giving the material body to the jiva of that particular Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, or is the material nature giving it, or Durga Devi is giving it?
No, so it is obviously the Supreme Lord who is actually providing, you know, the material elements. And, the, you know, Brahma is just an agent to create. So through the agency of Brahma, the living entities are created. But what is the meaning of living entities are created? Living entities are created means they are not evolving, like Darwin's theory, that some chemicals are combining, and then the living entities, they are born directly as living entities. They are not evolving because of some chemicals, right? So, what is the meaning of this? What is the meaning? That the living entities have already been assigned bodies. That is done by the Lord. Okay, so Brahma's role is just to create the living entities. Okay, and the bodies are already...
Give them a particular body.
That particular body is assigned by the Lord because he is the knower of karmas of all the living entities. He is the giver of that, you know, karma. So, you know, okay, now the question is that Brahma created four Kumaras. Well, how did the four Kumaras get that kind of Kumar body?
Yeah.
Where did they get it from? So obviously, you know, they are getting from their karma, from their previous impressions. Narad Muni, how does he get the body? Now, he was not a Nityasiddha. You know, he was a son of a maid servant. So, he served Bhakti Vedanta. He had taken Mahaprasad remnants. He used to hear katha from them. He was a sadhaka. He developed ruchi, asakti, bhav, you know, and then prema. And then he, next lifetime, he got the Narada form, the eternal spiritual form.
So, it's given by the Lord.
So, yeah, of course. Brahma does not have that, you know, capacity, authority and capacity. You know, Brahma is not the Lord. Brahma is just a jiva, is an empowered jiva. So the only task of Brahma is to create. But Rudras, you know, they are coming from Brahma. That doesn't mean that Shiva is inferior to Brahma. It just means that Brahma is the agency through which the Rudra form of Shiva is manifested. But we know that Shiva is superior to Brahma. And then even Vara form is coming from the nostril of Brahma. So it doesn't mean that, right? So, the bodies of the jivas, they are assigned according to their karmas. And so, who is the supreme controller? The Lord is the supreme controller. He is deciding all these things. So, Brahma is just creating, bus. The way we create in the material world. We are not responsible to give bodies, right? The body is automatically being given to the children. Who are taking birth. So it's a process of nature. Naturally the process is happening and they get their bodies. It's not that we are supplying elements, we are making a combination and then, you know, then everyone will know that, okay, which body I'm supposed to give that to that child. But being the father and mother, they are just instruments of the child taking birth. The body is already arranged by the Lord. That's why we don't know who is going to take birth, a girl or a boy.
Yes. And what is then the role of Durga? Durga Devi, she is like the glance is falling on Rama Devi and then it starts off, no? Shiva and...
So Rama Devi is the eternal comfort of Mahavishnu. And yeah. Ramadevi is the Shakti Tattva potency of Mahavishnu. And
yeah.
Ramadevi, so the shadow of that chit potency, the Ramadevi is actually the chit potency of the Lord. And the shadow of that is Durga.
Yes,
so because
Durga,
Vishnu,
Durga Shiva creates these material entities or Brahma?
What?
The living entities get certain material bodies through the agency of Brahma or through the agency of Shiva and Parvati?
So again, I explained, you know, that the same thing. But the body is gotten by the desire of the Supreme God. Everyone gets the body because of the desire of the Supreme God.
Yes, that is
and
true.
In this case, yeah, so it is basically, you know, Mahavishnu. Who is,
so that is there. But who is, like, some people say Brahma is the secondary creator, he is the Prajapati. Some say Durga and Shiva created the thing. So which is?
So we have to understand from Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is defining what is Sarga Visarga. And Visarga is the secondary creation of Brahma, which means that he is actually injecting all the living entities. Means, you know, because of him, the creation is taking place in the material world which is already created. So he is filling up the universe through his, you know, empowerment of the, you know, the Supreme Lord. So it is Brahma who is actually responsible for the secondary creation. And as we know that, so that's the reason, you know, he's the creator. He's called as a creator.
Yeah.
Because he's passionate. So he is creator. And then Vishnu is maintainer. And Shiva's role is to destroy things.
Maybe Prabhuji, we call, no, when Ramadevi, Mahavishnu glances and Ramadevi knows his desire. And then her chit potency, Durga Devi and Shiva, Shambhu. The Pradhan, and they created all the elements, no? They come into manifestation, all these Pancha Bhutas, whatever we call.
In that case, only the
five elements were created and manifested, and later on it is, as Prabhu told, it is the duty of Brahma to create all the living entities and provide the bodies as per the their previous karma and sanctioned by the Lord. But the main elements for that particular body to be prepared, all these things were under the, like, it was by Shiva, Shambhu and Durga.
Yeah, so they are the, you know, instruments for, because the Supreme Lord does not come in contact with the material nature. That's why Shiva and Durga concept is there. That's the main role of Shiva, you know. That is the main reason why Shiva and Durga are there, because the Supreme Lord does not want to get in touch with the material nature, you know, directly. So whatever the function, see, ultimately, whatever Mahavishnu wants, it is done through the agency of Shiva Durga, and it is done through the agency of Brahma. Okay, because he does not want to get involved in the material creation. He is aloof from that. So he will assign someone. So that role is done by Shiva, and see, that's the reason Mahavishnu is glancing. But then, who is... See, Garbhadaka Shai Vishnu is not even in the picture yet, because who is transferring the jivas from the outside of the material universe to inside of the material universe? Who is doing that? Because Garbhadaka Shai Vishnu is not yet even there. So that part is taken care by Shiva and Durga. So in that sense, you know, they are the agents of the Supreme Lord. And so one can say that, you know, these elements are also coming from Shiva. Right? I mean, otherwise, what is the use of Shiva and Durga? So Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu is taking sets of jivas from where? So, you know, his role is coming. I mean, there is nothing achintya about this, you know, it's a process, it's a sequence. It's just that we have to understand the sequence, you know, you have to just, I think, you know, you have to see the videos, the Bhagavad Cosmology video and then the Goloka chart. You'll get that, you know, and you have to read also Srimad Bhagavatam. Then you'll get the proper understanding about the sequence. So it's a sequence of events happening, and that's how things are manifested in the material realm. And the only reason why Shiva and Durga are there, because the Lord in his original form, he does not want to get involved with the material creation. So, so he has taken, you know, he has given the chart to Durga Devi, you know, for now who is the controller of the mode of material nature? Durga Devi is the controller, you know, Maya Devi. But ultimately she is controlled by the Supreme Lord. So everything is controlled by the Supreme Lord, everything is sanctioned by him. They are just instruments. They have some specific service and task to perform. Anyone has any comments about this?
Nothing really.
Okay. Okay, so let's go ahead. Are you all there? Mithil Prabhu, Jigna Matari, Angel Matari?
Yes, Prabhu.
Okay. So which verse we are at currently? The okay, we have to, I think the third verse we have to cover now.
Yeah.
Okay, 33rd verse. I think I read, right? The last verse. 34.
Now we have to read 34,
sir.
Thirty-three,
yeah. Okay, so yeah, Chintamani Mataji, you can continue.
The sky duty of nature does not restrict anything, although it is all pervading. Similarly, the soul situated in Brahman vision does not mix with the body, though situated in that body. The air enters into water, mud, food, and water, whatever else is there, still it does not mix with anything. Similarly, the living entity, even though situated in varieties of bodies, is aloof from them due to his subtle nature. Therefore, it is impossible to see with the material eyes how the living entity is in contact with this body and how it is out of it after the destruction of the body. No one in science can ascertain this.
Yeah. So here, Prabhupada gives example as the air enters into water, mud, stool. Still, it does not mix with anything. So, similarly, the living entity, you know, in different ways, it is aloof from them. So, it is like the spiritual nature of the soul. And we cannot see that with material eyes. Okay. Okay, next. Angel Madhuri.
Fine. 13.6. यथा प्रकाशयति एक सृष्टं लोकं इमां रवि क्षेत्रं क्षेत्री तथा सृष्टं प्रकाशयति भारत ओ सन ऑफ भारत as the sun alone illuminates all this universe so does the living entity one within the body illuminate the entire body by consciousness there are various theories regarding consciousness Here in Bhagavad Gita, the example of the sun and the sunshine is given. As the sun is situated in one place but is illuminating the whole universe, so a small particle of the spirit soul, although situated in the heart of this body, is illuminating the whole body by consciousness. Thus, consciousness is the proof of the presence of the soul, as sunshine or the light is the proof of the presence of the sun. When the soul is present in the body, there is consciousness all over the body. And as soon as the soul is has passed from the body, there is no more consciousness. This can be easily understood by any intelligent man. Therefore, consciousness is not a product of the combination of matter. It is a symptom of the living entity. The consciousness of the living entity, although qualitatively one with the supreme consciousness, is not supreme. Because the consciousness of one particular body does not share that of another body. But the super soul, which is situated on all the bodies as a friend of the individual soul, is conscious of all bodies. That is the difference between supreme consciousness and individual consciousness.
Okay. Any comments? Okay, so we can continue. This is the last verse of over the chapter. Yeah. Ujjwala Madhuri.
Yes, Ruji. 35. Kshetra Kshetragna Yor Evam Antaram Gnana Chakshusha Bhuta Prakriti Mokshamcha Evidur Yanti Teparam. Those who see with eyes of knowledge the difference between the body and the knower of the body and can also understand the process of liberation from bondage in material nature attain to the supreme goal, purport. The purport of this 13th chapter is that one should know the distinction between the body, the owner of the body and the super soul. One should recognize the process of liberation as described in verses 8 through 12. Then one can go on to the supreme destination. A faithful person should at first have some good association to hear of God and thus gradually become enlightened. If one accepts a spiritual master, one can learn to distinguish between matter and spirit, and that becomes the stepping stone for further spiritual realization. A spiritual master, by various instructions, teaches his students to get free from the material concept of life. For instance, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna instructing Arjuna to free him from materialistic considerations. One can understand this body is matter, it can be analyzed with its 24 elements. The body is the gross manifestation, and the subtle manifestation is the mind and psychological effects. And the symptoms of life are the interaction of these features. But over and above this, there is the soul, and there is also the super soul. The soul and the super soul are two. This material world is working by the conjunction of the soul and the 24 material elements. One who can see the constitution of the whole material manifestation as this combination of the soul and material elements and can also see the situation of the supreme soul becomes eligible for transfer to the spiritual world. These things are meant for contemplation and for realization, and one should have a complete understanding of this chapter with the help of the spiritual master.
Yeah, Hari Bol. Yeah, so here in this particular chapter, you know, we have understood something about the body, knower of the body, field of activity, knower of the field of activities. Basically, you know, it's more described about the nature of the soul and the super soul. Okay, so we have finished the 13th chapter. And next chapter. Three modes of material nature. So that we can, you know, continue next time. But any comment or question about 13th chapter in general? Actually, you know, in our discussion conversations, just 5 minutes ago, discussing about the material creation, all that stuff, I was just thinking that the role of Mahavishnu and Ramadevi is that they don't want to get in touch with the material energy. So that's why we have Shambhu and Parvati, right? We have Lord Shiva and Parvati in the material realm. I mean, they are also not, you know, exactly in the material world because they are situated outside in the Mahakal Dham. But I was thinking that, again, what is the Lord doing? Because He is again manifesting in the form of Garbhodaya Sai Vishnu and Shirdak Sai Vishnu. I mean, so why He has to do that? Right? Why He has to do that? Because He does not want to come in contact with the material nature. Now, you know, as Garbhodaya Sai Vishnu, He is actually inside the material universe. And He is actually also situated in within the universes. You know, like as we know that there are local Vaikunth planets in the material universe. So again, the Lord is actually, you know, coming there. And obviously we know that He is transcendent into the modes of nature. He is not affected by the material energy. But then, finally, you know, He is also incarnating in these forms. So it sounds, you know, all these things, you know, it sounds very, it's the Lord's desire, you know, it's the Lord's desire. So we don't analyze that. But obviously certain things are there, you know, which we think. Probably, you know, we find for some kind of purpose behind it. So I think, okay, anyone can guess why the Lord would be there as Garbhodaya Sai Vishnu and as Shirdak Sai Vishnu. Anyone would like to guess that? I mean,
Oji, what's the question? I got disconnected.
The question is, how much did you hear?
When you were talking about Mahavishnu, then Shiva Parvati.
Yeah, so the question is that why, you know, the Lord does not want to come in contact with material nature directly. But at the same time, He is also present in the form of Garbhodaya Sai Vishnu and Shirdaka Sai Vishnu within the material.
Yeah.
I think Prabhu got disconnected.
Prabhu got disconnected.
Yeah, Hare Krishna. Yeah, I got disconnected. Yeah, so the question for all of you is that why the Lord has to be present in the form of Garbhodaya Sai Vishnu and Shirdak Sai Vishnu when He does not want to come in contact with the material nature?
Because
interesting question, no?
Yes, Rahul.
But depending on the leelas of the Lord, depending on the role of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and Shirodakshaya Vishnu, maybe we can get some kind of reason, you know, good reason why he is appearing like that. So anyone would like to guess? Maybe I think all of you should think, what are the main roles of Garbhodakshaya and Shirodakshaya Vishnus? And then after, you know, I think after that, you'll probably get some good reasons to explain that.
Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is the super soul of the universe.
Yeah, she is the super soul of each and every universe.
Yeah, and Shirodakshaya is the super soul in every living entity.
Yeah, so basically that is, yeah, that means that super soul is actually the life-giving force of everything. So the Lord is basically proving, or, you know, he is indicating that without him, nothing will be existing. So he has to be present. And it's also the mercy of the Lord that he is directly manifesting himself. He's not doing things through the agency of his guna avatars. Okay, so for each and every living entity, the Lord is not, like, we don't hear that Shiva is present inside the heart or Brahma is present inside the heart, right? Personally, the Lord is present.
Yeah, so like he is controlling
the thing. He's basically the supreme controller. He's the life giver of everything. And at the same time, he is also personally connected to each and every one of us. That is his special mercy. Like, you know, we have, we know about one pastime or story where I think it was a conversation between Akbar and Birbal. And Birbal was a devotee, you know, and he was like praying to the Lord all the time. And so Akbar went to him and he told him that, you know, you are always praying to the Lord. And, you know, tell me one thing, you know, if your Lord is omniscient and omnipotent, then why, you know, he has to take incarnation again and again? Why he has to come? No, because he can do everything. So he does not have to come and descend. And so then Birbal told him that, give me some time, you know, you will get your answer. And then one day, what happened? So, see, I'm not exactly sure if this was conversation between Akbar and Birbal. I'm just like, probably I'm just speculating about it. But the story is actually essentially the same. The message and the theme is the same. That then what happened one day, Akbar's son, so he, you know, first time he went and, you know, he went inside a pond, okay? And he wanted to learn, float in the pond, and he wanted to learn swimming. But then, in that process, he started drowning. So then, all the associates of Akbar, you know, all these all his soldiers and everyone, they started jumping inside the pond to somehow save his child. And then Akbar also saw from his balcony, you know, that his son is about to drown. So immediately he left everything, he rushed towards that pond, and he also jumped. And then somehow, you know, he got his son back. You know, he saved him from drowning. So then Birbal went to him and told him that you had so many soldiers who were trying to help him. Why did you personally went and jump in? And then obviously Akbar said that, obviously, you know, he's my son. So as a father, you know, I am always bothered about that. I'm always concerned. And so then Birbal told him, so this answers the question about why the Supreme Lord, he has to take incarnation, he has to come down again and again. even though he is omnipotent. So this is the connection, that the super soul, you know, that is the role of the super soul. So he's not actually sending anyone else. He is personally coming. And even so here we are not just talking about the Godhead aspect, you know, the supremacy of the Godhead aspect. We are not talking distinction between Vishnu and Krishna. It's a generalized concept that Vishnu is personally coming. Okay, and obviously we also know that Krishna also personally reciprocates with us. So this also makes sense that, you know, as a Paramatma feature, the Lord is personally coming and is assisting everyone personally. So he's not sending any agents, he's not sending demigods, you know, he's not sending. Now, one more thing you can notice, that the Paramatma feature is also temporary, but still the Lord is taking that position. So you can ask this question, that why he has to take that temporary position when any other demigod can also do that. But no, he's personally taking that role because he is extremely concerned about his children. So he wants to assist them personally. Right? So the Paramatma feature is Shivadaksha Vishnu, and the Garbhadaksha Vishnu again is the life-giving super soul for all the living the universes in the material world. Nothing can exist without that. So this is something that, you know, is probably one of the main reasons why Garbhadaksha Vishnu and Shivadaksha Vishnu are also present in the material realm. Although Mahavishnu does not want to be in connection. So the Lord's Leelas are all Achintya Bhedabhed, you know, one and different. So as Mahavishnu, he is not there, personally present. As Garbhadakshi Radakshai Vishnu and, you know, as we render the work, see, as Garbhadakshai and Shivadakshai Vishnu is present for everyone. But as you approach the Lord, he is present in his direct form. So you render devotional service, then Krishna will be present as he is. He is associated with you personally. If you approach Ram, he will reciprocate with you personally. If you approach Narasimha Dev, he will reciprocate. But the condition is that you have to perform devotional service, right? But for each and every living entity, as a common father for everyone, he is present as the super soul. So that makes the Lord unique, you know, in terms of being merciful to everyone, whoever is a demon, whoever is a atheistic person, or whoever is a karmi or a jnani or a devotee, whatever it is. They are all getting reciprocation from the Lord in the form of super soul. Right? So, I mean, does this sound logical? Or any other reason you can think of?
Clear, Prabhu. It's logical.
Okay, any other reason? Anyone has got any other, realization, thoughts about Garbhadakshai, Shikshiradakshai, Vishnu, their presence? Okay, anyways. So, okay, what up, Mithu Prabhu, Jigna Mataji, you are there?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay, are you able to follow everything?
Yes,
no questions?
No questions.
Okay. Okay, alright, so let's continue next week. Thank you all the devotees for joining. Hare Krishna, Janma Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Janma Pranam.
Hare Krishna.